Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The family of the late Owen French, who is also known in the music world as Talos, has come together with the Irish Cancer Society to make the song We Didn't Know We Were Ready, the song for Daffodil Day tomorrow. Now, We Didn't Know We Were Ready was written by Owen and the Icelandic artist Ólafur Arnalds alongside Niamh Regan, Angie Vagabonds. And after Owen's untimely death from cancer back in August of 2024, the song was finally fully recorded, and it poignantly features Owen's lead vocals alongside contributions from his friends, his family and collaborators. Well, I'm delighted to say that Owen's brother Brian is here with me in the studio to talk about it alongside Amy Nolan, who's Director of Clinical Affairs with the Irish Cancer Society. And it's lovely to have you both here. Thanks for coming in today. So Owen was your big brother?
Yeah, just two of us, older brother.
Right.
About 4 years, I'd say.
Do you want to just tell us maybe a bit about him and the type of person that he was so we get a sense of him?
Totally. I suppose... We were very, very close. We were very kind of competitive. I suppose he was just, for me, when I kind of reflect, when you kind of ask that question, you only kind of reflect on what type of brother he was after he passes, you know?
Mm.
I think it's, with that, you kind of take a lot of it for granted. So when I kind of look back, I didn't really realise how much of an influence he had on me. Because when we were both alive, we had so many similar interests as art, music, food, surfing. And I kind of naively thought we just had loads in common, to be perfectly honest, you know?
Yeah.
But it was actually only after he passed that I realised he was probably one of the most kind of pivotal role models in my life. Mm-hmm. Very caring, very incredible kind of friend, came out after his kind of diagnosis and it became more apparent.
Yeah, because you hear lovely stories about people in in the aftermath, don't you? Things that you
100%.
Might never have found out about.
Yeah, exactly. And like his friends became an extended family to us and helped me, helped my parents, helped my fiance, obviously helped his wife Steph get through it.
Yeah.
I also just really admired his curiosity and his craft towards his work, you know. It was just always incredibly inspiring. He'd always be learning a new instrument, a new software program, always pushing and picking to almost turn his imagination into a reality, you know?
Yeah.
And I found that incredibly inspiring.
But, you know, your loss is very recent. It's very recent, like it's not even a year.
Totally, yeah.
You talked about, you know, the friends and family helping you through all of that. But it's difficult, isn't it? Like it's hard.
Yeah, yeah. The way I was only speaking to Owen's wife about this last week, the best way I can explain my experience with grief is, I don't know, do you remember those old movies where a tiny car would come into shot?
Yeah.
And one clone would come out and another clone would come out.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the scene finishes, there's about 18 clones out of this tiny car and you can't really understand how the clones fit in. For me, the grief of Owen's passing is the car. And like you just an overwhelming amount of emotions kind of come for you unannounced, untimed. And it's kind of your responsibility to try understand what those emotions are, whether that's sadness, anger, regret is obviously a big one. Kind of an existentialism where you kind of question your own life, your own life choices. And the processing of it is the grief, is the... it'll kind of change my life forever, I think.
Yeah,
Owen's
of course
passing,
it will.
You know?
Did you feel you learnt a lot from him in that time when he was having to deal with this?
Oh my God, tremendously so. And I think actually just the level, there was such a sense of presence, a kind of a wisdom and a kind of understanding and actually a positivity that he took the diagnosis but also took with him throughout that whole journey post-diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where he actually taught all of us how to process it. Like, I remember being in his house and his friends would come over and the friends would have the intention of helping him deal with it. But within 5 minutes of the friends, he was helping them. And then they'd
Roll
be...
reversal.
Totally, yeah. And then by the time they'd leave, we'd have a bit of a laugh about it, how he was actually kind of consoling them or helping them kind of navigate it.
Yeah.
So I think all of us definitely learned a ton about even life, through Owen's kind of experience.
You mentioned all the things he was interested in. I mean, sport was huge, the running, surfing. He was a rugby player, wasn't he, earlier
yeah,
on?
Yeah, back in the day, he was a rugby player also. Yeah.
You're just so young and fit and healthy, and then this thing.
Yeah, totally. Complete shock for all of us. I think, like, yeah, as I was saying to Amy, I think he was visiting me in London late October, having dinner, perfect health, loads of plans, future albums, moving to Belfast. And then, unfortunately, then kind of early November with the diagnosis, you know.
Mm-hmm. So then this project now with Amy and the Cancer Society, I mean, for you and for the family, why make that decision? Because it does mean that you have to sit here and talk about something that's difficult.
Yeah. I think probably people who are either listening or yourself can resonate. When someone very close to you passes, whether that's a brother, a wife, a parent, a child, there's this kind of instinctual response to celebrate that person's life, you know? And you probably have experienced it as well. And I suppose Owen is in a unique individual, but a unique case where there's his life to celebrate, but there's also his art to celebrate. And the folks and the people who worked on the song, We Didn't Know We Were Ready, felt that, I suppose, that song could be a celebration of Owen's work, but also an opportunity to support a great cause like Cancer Society, but also support actually people who might be going through it as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it felt like something Owen would be proud of.
We're going to play the song right at the end, but people will be familiar with it because it just became that huge viral moment from Tommy Tiernan's show when Dermot Kennedy and a lot of Owen's friends and collaborators came together to perform it, and you could see watching that the emotional impact that it had on them standing there singing and playing. It was incredible.
Myself and my fiance flew back from spending time in Ireland, arrived straight in the flight, turned on the show. We were just in an empty, dark kind of London apartment. And then, Joe, to your point, this incredibly poignant, incredibly intense, beautiful 4 or 5 minutes. And then, as you know, like the Tommy Tiernan show just closes with silence, you know?
Yeah.
So we were left just hanging with that emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Brought it all back. And then to your point, just an outpour of messages from friends and families about how much that experience affected them as well.
Yeah.
You know?
So, Amy, for you and for the Cancer Society, I mean, this just seemed to fit so well, didn't it? This
it
song
fits
and
so
Daffodil
well.
Day.
It's really beautiful. And we are really grateful to Breen and his family because, as you just said, Claire, for Breen to come in here, it takes an awful lot of effort, energy, psychologically and emotionally. So we are very grateful to him and to his family. But it is a lovely way to remember Owen and to really, you know, consider his legacy here. I think that's really important. Sure. And through that artistic vent, which is just beautiful for
and
us.
What are you asking people to do? Just to share the song?
Yeah, share the song. And we know that our services are hugely in demand now. There's been a 20% increase in our services across our transport, across our Daffodil centres, which are around nationally, 13 different hospitals, to our support line also. So there's a huge demand there for our services and counselling also.
Mm-hmm.
So by doing this, we will be able to hopefully raise our target for tomorrow is Daffodil Day. So our target is €6 million. But overall, the Irish Cancer Society, to run as effectively as we are running and also to increase our support, we need to raise €30 million annually to achieve that.
And it's
it's a lot of money, Claire. Mm-hmm. And we want to be there for every patient who is diagnosed with cancer, but also for their family members, because as Breen has just outlined, and friends, the impact of a cancer diagnosis in a family or their surrounding community is huge. And the Irish Cancer Society is there for those people through our support line and lots of other ways. Mm-hmm. So we really want to tell people that there this morning.
Breen, can you go back and tell us a little bit about the song, how it came about, when it was written?
Yeah, totally.
The collaboration.
Yeah. So I remember speaking to Owen about it when it actually came about. So Mary Hickson runs a festival and kind of art collaboration event called Sounds from a Safe Harbour. And Owen was there, and Oliver was there also. And I think Oliver mentioned it in a podcast recently, but it was felt like a very organic collaboration where they started working together at that kind of festival. And slowly that song, I suppose, began to take to life, and it became, I think, listening to Oli explain it on the podcast, something that was quite modular, where they were making this song for other people to kind of collaborate and contribute to. Hence why the Ye Vagabonds came in, Ye of Regan came in.
Oh, so it was always intended that this would be something that would just be enhanced by people joining.
That's the impression I got, yeah. And I kind of, yeah, as I said, kind of Ollie explains it as this kind of like modular song where through time, lots of different people and kind of groups of people have performed it in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
And, the Tommy Tiernan Show being another kind of interpretation of the song, you know.
Yeah, but it almost feels like it was written for this purpose, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, people say that to me for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But and then like the kind of, there is a metaphor to the song and definitely the title as well, because you don't know you are, yeah, if you tie it back to Owen's passing, you don't know you are ready to kind of have your brother diagnosed or have your watch your brother pass away. Mm. But there was something in, as I said, going back to what I said previously, there was something in Owen's approach to it and the relationship I had with Owen that could, to the song's title, made you ready for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a surprise how ready you or how ready or capable you are
so
dealing with that grief.
It was almost in the way he approached it that got everybody ready. Is that what you're saying?
100%. We just followed in line.
Where did that come from in him? Or what was in him, do you think, that allowed him to be like that? Because, I don't know, if it were me, I'd be very cross, I'd be angry, I'd be bitter, I'd be upset that my life was being taken in this way.
Yeah.
But he seemed to be very philosophical about it.
Totally. No, I think all those emotions did happen, for sure. And I think it would be incorrect to say those type of things didn't. But I think there was a sense of understanding or kind of this stoic presence, sense of presence, and that we still scratch our head about it. Yeah, I think it was a level of spirituality that he kind of tapped into for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, to your point, I don't think I would see people kind of get to that level of, yeah, I think actually just presence, really.
Yeah.
It was pretty impressive. Well, and to your point, we all just fell in line. We followed him through his journey, really.
But it's a great legacy for him to have taught that lesson to people, isn't it?
100%.
And to leave behind the, you know, this music.
Yeah, exactly. And my experience with Owen and my experience, especially with Owen going through it, has definitely changed me. I will live a different life because of it, for
really?
Sure. Really? Yeah, for sure. 100%. Mm-hmm. All your values completely recalibrate in terms of like my experience anyway. What is important to you? What have I neglected? What are the things I should or could be kind of having more time for, you know?
What do you spend your energy on?
Exactly,
what do you worry about?
I probably regret that I didn't spend enough time with him. I probably regret spending too much time in London working. Probably don't my own interests are creative. Probably don't surf enough. Probably don't write enough. And I think if the roles were reversed, I would regret those decisions.
Yeah.
So then as a result, you're kind of like, how do I kind of change things?
You're just reminded about all of those things now,
totally,
aren't you?
Yeah, for sure.
There's some good news, though, about cancer in Ireland as well, Amy, we should say. I mean, we saw the skin cancer survival rates are very, very good now.
Yes, and I think early detection has played a huge role in that, Claire. And the focus, particularly with skin cancer, today's NCRI report, we've done a lot of work around encouraging people to prevent skin cancer, and I think that's playing out now. 44,000 people are diagnosed with cancer every year in Ireland, and that means that one in two of us will be diagnosed with cancer in our lifetime. But maybe 30 years ago, 3 in 10 people would survive a cancer diagnosis, where now it's 6 in 10 people survive a cancer diagnosis, which shows that there's been great progress in the research, cancer research. We'd be the largest voluntary funder of cancer research in Ireland. So there are better treatments out there, more precision treatment. People are catching it earlier, and we would encourage anybody who is sitting at home now concerned maybe about any signs or symptoms not to leave it, to go to their GP and get checked.
Yeah.
Even for peace of mind, because that early detection is really key in surviving.
Okay, and if people want to donate for Daffodil Day, it's cancer.ie/donate. So tell us about the song and the role it's going to play then, and what do you want people to do, Amy?
Well, we would really want people to share the song and to go onto our website and donate. That's really important to us. And if you see anybody selling a daffodil tomorrow, and it's all around the country, we have an army of people dressed in yellow daffodils, you name name it, they're out there and they are selling the daffodils. So we really would encourage you to communicate mm-hmm. and share with them.
Well,
thank you.
People getting in touch this morning, this listener wants to send in a message of appreciation for Owen's music, an incredible talent that I only stumbled upon in early September of last year. I felt like I'd been living under a rock as I couldn't fathom how I hadn't been more familiar with his music. A week later, when trying to seek out possible concerts, I discovered that Owen had very sadly passed away just a few weeks earlier. His music lives on and he leaves an indelible mark. Isn't that lovely to hear?
Yeah, totally lovely.
Yeah, and hopefully this will add to his legacy now in helping other people who are might be facing the same situation as he was and as you were in the family.
Totally, yeah.
Will we listen to the song?
That'd be amazing.
Let's do that. Brian, thank you so much for coming in. And Amy, you too. Thank you for being with us. It's Daffodil Day tomorrow. And here is We Didn't Know We Were Ready. And that is We Didn't Know We Were Ready. And that is Owen French and collaborators there. And it's all about Daffodil Day, which is on tomorrow.